Hey, I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are here, Lord, this morning to worship you, God. You are so awesome. You are so great. You are so wonderful. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for sending Jesus to come to save us, Lord. So speak to us now, Lord, as we open up your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for all that are watching online. I'm so glad you're here. Hey, I want to thank a couple people before I get started. I want to thank Gina so much for leading worship last Sunday. She did so well, and the whole worship team. So thank you guys for last Sunday and worshiping and leading us when I was not here. I also want to thank Rhonda. She was the one who took care of our dogs and stayed at her house. So thank you so much for taking care of our crazy dogs. But they're very nice dogs, aren't they? But thank you so much, Rhonda. So I want to ask you guys a question. What is the most, or what is the thing that you most love to do? And you're pretty sure that what you love to do, the Lord loves doing it with you. Maybe it's hiking. I know there's a lot of people in our church that love to go hiking together. And of course, we live in the state that is so beautiful for that, perfect for going hiking. Even around our church, it's so beautiful. And you never know what you might see here at our church. You might even look out this window sometime. Of course, you see the waterfall, but you might look out and see a bear climbing up the tree out there. Because I heard that actually happened. It was a small bear a few weeks ago that was climbing up the tree when Pastor Gabe was in here. There's so much beauty in our state. I always love that verse in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made, so that they are without excuse." The gospel has never started with what we can do for God. It has always begun with what Christ has already done for us. And we glorify him and honor him. We recognize his glory and praise him for it. So what does God love the most? What gives him the greatest joy? My message this morning is going to be a little different. It's in two parts. Part one. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. And I want to show you a picture up on the screen of some sheep. So last week, Sue and I and her mom and her brother got a chance, a once-in-a-lifetime chance to visit Norway. And of course, it was amazing. Of course, it was beautiful. Of course, it's the first thing I noticed when the plane was landing in Oslo was, I have never seen the color green look so green. Oh, it is just something else there with the colors. I've seen things as far as in nature and mountains and fjords, just beautiful. We got to do so much. And I'm just going to show a couple pictures right now, but there's so much in that trip that the Lord taught me, spoke to my heart about, and I'm just going to keep it in my back pocket for now and save it for future messages. But you can see these sheep. They are definitely going astray. So this picture was taken on the tallest mountain pass in Europe, I believe. It was at least 4,600 feet above sea level. And I am going to show you a picture where you'll get to see it in a second here. But you can see the sheep. They're not supposed to be out on the road, and I was afraid they were going to get run over. Now, let me show you a couple other pictures here. The next one, there's a sheep just sitting out in the middle of the road. Yep. And then one more sheep is on the wrong side of the fence there. And then one more picture I just want to show you. This is a picture of us. Here we are up on the tallest mountain pass in Europe, and it is really cold. In fact, it's a lot colder than it looks. We were just freezing up there, but how beautiful is the mountains. Of course, the country, Norway. We traveled, we went to Oslo and a couple other towns, and then we finished with Bergen. Yeah, and we're still feeling the jet lag from that because it's 8 hours difference. So there you go. So in Luke chapter 15, this is what I'm going to talk about this morning. There are three parables with one single theme that ties all three parables together. So what is a parable? If I were to define a parable in a sentence, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. To be more specific, a parable is the use of an illustration often taken from everyday life to communicate a deeper moral truth for a spiritual lesson. It's a tool that Jesus used to get across a particular point that otherwise might not be so obvious. And the particular point that Jesus is going to make with these three parables in Luke chapter 15 is that all people are lost, spiritually speaking. Some people will never admit that they are lost because they don't know that they are lost. Some people know that they are lost, but they don't want to be found. Others want to be found, but they feel too ashamed and too confused and don't know how to get there. There is a parable of the lost sheep in verses 1 through 7. There is the parable of the lost coin in verses 8 through 10. And there is the parable of the lost son, or often referred to as the prodigal son, in verses 11 through 32. Let me just read to you now in verses 1 through 7. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And obviously, since the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and complaining, Jesus told this parable. So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." These three parables speak of different places in our separation from God. The lost sheep knows it's lost but can't find its way home. The lost coin doesn't know it's lost but has great value to its owner. A coin was worth a day's wages. It has great worth to its owner. The lost son is lost and happy to be there and has no interest in being found. The parable of the prodigal son is the most familiar and beloved of Christ's parables. And unlike most parables, it has more than one lesson. The prodigal is an example of sound repentance. The elder brother illustrates the wickedness of the Pharisees' self-righteousness, prejudice, and indifference toward repenting sinners. And the father pictures God eager to forgive and longing for the return of the sinner. The main feature, however, as in the other two parables in this chapter, is the joy of God. And that's something I'm really going to focus on today. The celebrations that fill heaven when a sinner repents. I remember when Sue and I were first engaged, it was 1985. I was so happy that year. And there was a popular Christian song that came out that year called When God Ran. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that song. I still have the cassette. 1985, this is how we used to listen to music. Yeah, it was awesome, the cassette. Benny Hester, yep. And if you've never heard this song, it's an incredible song. I remember singing it one time in church. I just want to read just the lyrics of the chorus of the song. And the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. And this is the Father running. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from his eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The tax collectors and the sinners who draw near to him and choose to listen to him and are called by him to repentance. These are the ones that God loves the most. We are the ones that God loves the most. It's us who give God joy. Christ was not ashamed to be known as a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That's from Luke 7, verse 34. Dr. Jeremiah said, "The greatest joy you will ever know is when you become a Christian." And I'm not talking about happiness. I'm not talking about rah, rah, rah. I'm talking about the deep, settled peace in your heart that all is well. And as that great hymn says, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." And oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I want to read a couple verses that we need to never forget. Let us hide these verses in our hearts. And if you don't remember anything else from this message this morning, be reminded of the words of Jesus. The first one is in John 10, verses 27 through 28. I love this verse. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." The other verse is in 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John, who laid his head on the chest of Jesus, says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know, you know, that you have eternal life." Let's talk about God seeking the lost. I want to focus a minute on the parable of the lost sheep. So how did the sheep get lost? The sheep went astray. The sheep ran away. The sheep withdrew. It's a perfect illustration of us in our natural state. Apart from God, the way we were born. We were born lost. Paul says in Ephesians, "You were born dead." Let me read that verse. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked." Paul is talking to the church here. "According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," of course talking about Satan, "of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." We are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by choice. a sobering reminder of the total sinfulness and lostness from which believers have been redeemed. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. In the book of Genesis, God calls out to Adam, where are you? The answer, lost. By the way, have you ever noticed that the serpent didn't show up until God created Eve? After the marriage relationship was established. Let me read this from Genesis 2. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Listen to the next verse. Right after that's written, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden. I'm looking forward. We have a marriage conference coming up here at church in September. Every year at Christmas, and I know someone was waiting for me to mention Christmas, I love to hear the verses in Luke chapter 2. It's one of my favorite parts of the season. Read aloud every year, especially from Michael. Michael just has that gift that penetrates my heart every time he reads scripture. And of course, he leads us every Sunday morning here at the church at 9:30 in prayer. Verses 10 and 11 from Luke 2. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Good news of great joy for all people. Jesus is saying the same thing in Luke chapter 15. He's saying, all are worth finding. Isaiah 53:6 says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In W. Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, I want to read a couple of paragraphs that really spoke to me. This is so good. So if the Lord is my shepherd, I should know something about his character and understand something about his ability. To meditate on this, I frequently go out at night to walk alone under the stars and remind myself of his majesty and might. Looking up at the stars, studded sky, I remember that at least 250 million times 250 million such bodies, each larger than our sun, one of the smallest of the stars, have been scattered across the vast spaces of the universe by his hand. I recall that the planet Earth, which is my temporary home for a few short years, is so minute, a speck of matter in space, that if it were possible to transport our most powerful telescope to our nearest neighbor star, Alpha Centauri, and look back this way, the Earth could not be seen, even with the aid of that powerful instrument. All this is a bit humbling. It drains the ego from a man and puts things in proper perspective. It makes me see myself as a mere mite of material in an enormous universe. Yet the staggering fact remains that Christ, the creator of such an enormous universe of overwhelming magnitude, designs to call himself my shepherd and invites me to consider myself his sheep, his special object of affection and attention. Who better care for me? Because sheep by nature are defenseless. We are not overly bright and tend to follow a leader, regardless of where that leader is taking them. Sheep need a shepherd to survive. A shepherd protects them from attacks, guides them to good grazing, and keeps watch so that none are lost. Sheep tend to wander from the herd, kind of like in the pictures, and become easy targets for predators. In a spiritual sense, people are prone to wander and become easy targets for the enemy. Of course, that's Satan. Without Jesus, our good shepherd, we are spiritually lost and unable to find God on our own. Have you ever heard the phrase, life is a journey, so enjoy the ride? Well, for me, I'm only going to enjoy the ride if I know where the journey is leading to. Jesus said in Matthew 7, only the narrow path leads to life. Salvation by grace alone. It calls for knowledge and for truth, repentance and submission to Christ as Lord, and a willingness to obey his will and his word. Being here in church this morning, it helps us and teaches us how to be better in loving Jesus. We get better by being here or watching online this morning. Christ came for the lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And that's Luke 19:10. Another one of my favorite pastors, I have so many, but Max Lucado. I have so many of his books. So I think I gave some of them away, though, that I read when I was a lot younger. But I still listen to him once a week sometimes on YouTube. But I heard him say this. This is what Max Lucado said. Please note, God's destiny for life, salvation. God's overarching desire is that you reach that destiny. His itinerary includes stops that encourage your journey, and he frowns on stops that deter you. When his sovereign plan and your earthly plan collide, a decision must be made. Who's in charge of this journey? If God must choose between your earthly satisfaction and your heavenly salvation, which do you hope he chooses? Me too. Let me now turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, the greatest sermon that Jesus has ever given. Paul David Tripp, another one of my favorite authors, said this about the Beatitudes. I return to this again and again because there's nothing in Christ's instruction in the Beatitudes that I've outgrown. We could study, I believe, the Beatitudes every week and still not reach the depths of that. So today I'm just going to give just a little snippet of verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is a word that literally means, oh, how happy. Blessed, it's a kingdom word. Nobody knows what that word means unless you are part of the kingdom. Jesus was describing the divinely bestowed well-being. Like I said earlier, all is well when you know the Lord. The satisfaction of your soul that belongs only to the faithful. We as followers of Christ, only we can honestly say, it is well with my soul. The worship team sang that song last week. It's one of our favorite songs that we love to sing. The world says happiness is found in riches, merriment, abundance, leisure, and such things. The real truth is the very opposite. The Beatitudes give Jesus' description of true faith, poor in spirit, the opposite of self-sufficiency. This speaks of deep humility, of recognizing one's utter spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. It describes those who are acutely conscious of their own lostness and hopelessness apart from divine grace. In this opening verse of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was teaching that the kingdom is a gracious gift to those who sense their own poverty in spirit. Luke 9:12, when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick." Church is a place for those who are sick and want to be healed. I want to read a verse. This comes from my favorite scene in the movie The Chosen. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." Immediately the man became well and picked up his pallet and began to walk. Can we start feeling a little better right now? Can we ask the Holy Spirit to move in this place and to speak to our hearts right now? Can we praise him and thank him for what he has done? Can we do something a little different right now? I want to invite the worship team back up. We're going to do something I haven't done before, but the Lord led me to do this before I get to part two of my message. And by the way, part two of my message is much shorter. Much shorter. I want us to sing to God right now. I want us to praise him for coming to our rescue. Jesus has rescued us from the grave. He has turned our graves into gardens. And there is nothing better than knowing Jesus. So let's worship him.
Yes, you can stand.
Out loud.
Oh, there's nothing better than
you guys for coming up. Thank you.
Part two of my message is called, Because That's God. Let's talk about God finding the lost sheep and saving them and celebrating, because that's God. I want to read what I think is the most honest prayer in the Bible. It's from Mark 9:24. It says, I believe, help my unbelief. The content of this scripture is after Jesus and his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, come down from the mountain after the transfiguration, coming back down to the valley where we live, where life happens. Singing that song is the best I can do right now for that mountaintop experience. Here is where Jesus will deliver a demon-possessed son. Let me pick up the story in Mark 9. I'm going to read verses 21 through 24. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Remember, it's not about the amount of faith. It's the object of your faith that matters. The father recognizes how imperfect his faith is. I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. I believe what we didn't get in this life won't even compare to the joys we will have in eternity. Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are higher. Jesus says, all things are possible with God. I've heard it said that if an atheist is right, nothing is gained. If an atheist is wrong, everything is lost. Another one of my favorite Christian artists from the 80s was David Meese. I loved his music. And one of his lyrics in a song called The Man with the Nail Scars in His Hands, he says, there are many roads that lead to nowhere, but there is only one road that leads home. I'm choosing the path of the man with the nail scars in his hands. There are many roads that lead to nowhere, but there's only one road that leads home. We can always overcome anything when we put it in Jesus' hands. We already know the most of life is lived in the valley. So here are three encouraging bullet points for us. Number one, Jesus will never leave us. I want to read from Psalm 139. We all are familiar with this song. Jesus will never leave us. Here's what it says in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. Number two, the most difficult challenges in the valleys are sometimes best met with one another. Just sitting together, just sitting in quietness, in his stillness, in his presence, in his peace, and in his love. Let's allow him to speak to us. I believe when I look back on my life, the best moments will have been when all I did was to sit with my family, and when I sat with my church family in fellowship, in prayer, and with simple love for one another. Number three, my life can be more faith-filled and less fear-filled. Every time we meet as a church family, we become closer to one another and closer to God because we are doing God's favorite thing. We are loving each other. We are encouraging each other because that's God. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Because that's God. And he will carry you on his shoulders if he has to. Because that's God. Have you had that ride on the shoulders of Jesus? Jesus picks up the sheep and carries it on his shoulders. He will carry the weight of you on him with hands of compassion. Psalm 28, verse 9 says, be their shepherd and carry them forever. I can just hear Jesus say after he has rescued you, I got my sheep. Our great shepherd rejoices over you because that's God. There's a private rejoicing and there's a public rejoicing. The shepherd became a sheep to allow the sheep to get in the fold. Have you had that ride on the shoulders of Jesus? Luke 15:32. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. Because that's God, and that's what God does. In the closing of this message, I want to share something I wrote in one of my journals. I'm so glad throughout over the years I've kept all my journals. And I just came across this one. I thought it was perfect for the closing of this message. So here it is. It says, here's what it says in my journal. Read Isaiah 53, all of it. This is your precious Jesus. This is him. If you don't know him, this is him. And Jesus, we honor you in this house. We love you in this house. Here's verse 11. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied by his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Is he worthy? His blood is always speaking a better word. It is enough. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Today, let's walk out washed and renewed. He is worthy, because that's God. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for finding us, Lord, for saving us. We thank you that you carry us on your shoulders, Lord, every single moment of our lives, Lord. You will never leave us, Lord. You are always for us, God. And you want to give us your best. Sometimes it's hard, the things we go through, but it's for the best. Some things we don't understand in this life, but we will find joy, everlasting joy in eternity with you, Lord. So we thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. We love you. Thank you for saving us, Lord, for finding the lost. and bringing him back home to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to, of course, take communion now. We'll have two rows. On one, each, you can pick which side. We'll do our communion. We always have self-serve there in the back if you'd rather do self-serve communion. But thank you guys for being here. Thank you for listening. I love you guys. And we're going to go into worship once again.